Yeah, nice job on that song. Well done. And all the singing, by the way. I got to tell you, I love something that's happening here. I was unaware of it, but this morning I was handed this Happy Valentine's Day, Pastor Mark from Jacob C. And I think the fact that Team Djibouti gets extra points in edge games, I'm sure has nothing to do with his affection for me. And then I walked back between services, and I saw this chocolate heart maze with a little ball in it, and it says, "You amaze me." Wow. And this is from Kiera Most from Team Uruguay. She just happened to put that she's part of Team Uruguay, the middle school ministry there. Again, though, I mean, just pouring. And then Tyler Most, who... You know, apparently he's going to step it up over his, yeah, Team Djibouti right here. So, incredible. I love this. I love edge games. I love them. Yeah. I'll give you 100 billion bonus points if you come and do my driveway. All right? No, this is so, it's been a hard week. I come to you guys with a heavy heart. It's been a hard week. You know, many of you got the email that Mike has stepped down from his position, and that makes me so sad. But please keep praying. Mike and Caitlin are headed into their life together. They're about to get married, so lift them up, write them a card, send them a note, tell them how much you've appreciated them and that you love them. And I'm so thankful for Will and others who would step up and make stuff like Edge Games still happen and make it great. So thanks for all of you guys and what you've done. It's a good week to be together, though. I'm glad to be with you today. I want to tell you, I don't know if I tell you very often. I don't have that many things about my life. My life's really kind of simple, and I love my family. I enjoy exercise, you know that. I like to play golf. There aren't a whole lot of other things, which is actually pretty sad and somewhat therapeutic as I talk it through with you. I was talking with a friend this week who also runs, and one of the things that we were both reminded of, the time that I was challenged to run a marathon, I remember going to the starting line, and I had read about this, and they said, it's so cool because you get to the starting line, and it's one of the few times in your life where you look around, and you know what everybody who is standing right there with you has put in to get there. Their effort, long before they ever got to the start line, their commitment, their dedication, their hard work. And it really was something that was a pretty cool experience for me to look around at all ages and sizes and body styles and realize every one of them, you don't just walk up to the line of a marathon and go, oh, I didn't know this was happening today. Cool, I'll do it with y'all. This is great. You put in so much effort, so much dedication, so much of your heart and life. And I want you guys to know, I know there are some of you visiting, and this is terrific for us that you're here. It's a joy. You've come into our family, and that's really cool. My name is Mark, by the way. I'm the campus pastor. I'm sorry I didn't introduce myself. But when we come together like this, I want you guys to know, I think of you the same way. I know that you have come from your life of trying to work out your faith. That some of you are going, yeah, Mark, I'm failing badly. I know that. And yet you're here. And I love that. That you come back and you go, there's something, first of all, at the Word of God, and then there's something with the people of God that help us along the way. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the second part of transformation. So I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready for that. Rest a little bit. Relax a little bit so that you can recover and begin to go into this next week. to serve Christ. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12. It's where the key verse for this whole year's theme of transformation is. And that's verses 1 and 2. And we're going to spend a little more time in that. But go ahead and get there. In your Bible, on your devices, whatever you have, Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans written by the Apostle Paul. That's right. Let's say it out loud for the recording so Pastor Joe can hear it later. Yes, and don't forget, whenever you study or look at something, any of the scriptures, as much as you can, don't forget the context of what's happening there. So the Apostle Paul, not always the apostle. Now, some of you are going, I didn't grow up in church. That's a weird, we don't call anybody at work apostle or anything like that. The idea of apostle means a sent one, one that's designated to go and carry the word, the Apostle Paul. And you had Jesus' disciples who became apostles, right, when they carried the burden of the church forward and the great glory. And then you had Paul, who was right there part of them at the beginning, right? No. Because Paul, trained in Judaism, trained to believe there is one God, and Jesus keeps claiming he's God but talks to God. So we have a big problem. And Paul's solution, Saul at that time, his solution was, yeah, kill him. Right? A pretty straightforward solution. Let's just get rid of him. Let's squelch this uprising and we'll be done with it. We'll return to the purity of Judaism. But then, and this isn't a story, people. This is history. This happened on earth, terra firma, on the dust. Paul was struck down by a vision of the risen Christ. So cool, by the way, that when you read that particular section of Acts, Acts is Luke book 2, when you read that section, you see, those of you who have red letter editions, you get red letters there. Because that's Jesus talking to Paul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I love the life of, I'm sorry, I got sidetracked in the life of Paul. This is who's talking to us. This is who he's going to say, by the mercies of God. So when he delivers this message, look at the container that it's in. This is a guy who has Christian blood on his hands. You think you bring some baggage today? Seriously? This is a guy who had to look Jesus in the face and go, wow, yeah, I didn't really think you'd come back from the dead. That was a game changer. Okay? And I'm really sorry I killed your followers. That's who's delivering this challenge, this message, and I'm going to try to do justice to his words. No, wait. I'm going to try to do justice to God's words delivered through the Apostle Paul. Romans 12 says this. Read it with me, or follow along, would you? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed, pressed into a mold of this world, but be transformed, metamorphosized. Metamorphosis is the word here. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, right? We're going to dive into that. By testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. God's word is really good, And this is God's word for us today. Last week we talked about practical baby steps to transformation. And the one thing, one principle I wanted to drive home for you, and I know a bunch of you just thought of Bill Murray's Baby Steps movie when I mentioned that just now. I know who you are. I see you out there. The one principle I want to drive home for spiritual transformation for you this year is that you can choose to try all you want. Or in some cases, the method of change that I've seen so many Christians take is what I call, gosh, I really hope it just happens on its own without any effort on my part. You can choose that method if you want. But if you want to see real change in this year, then I suggest and suggested last week you begin doing what? Anybody remember? Thank you. Good. Nice. Well done. That you begin training yourself for godliness. Training involves discipline. It involves plan. For you to be changed, transformed next year, it will take effort right now on your part. And I told you, as your pastor, as your friend, I'm going to try to do things and provide things for you all along the way to help. Okay? So, Paul challenges us to be transformed. My older brother showed me this cartoon, and I loved it because it was way too appropriate for my life. The first one was this guy standing next to Jesus looking down the beach, and a set of footprints coming down the beach, right? And Jesus says, you see that single set of footprints? That's when I was carrying you. Aw. You know? And then the next frame says, you see the footprints with the deep groove behind it? That's where I dragged you kicking and screaming, okay? That's my cartoon right there, all right? That's me. I'm not in Jesus' arms. I'm the guy he's dragging. Come on, you're coming with me. That's sometimes what transformation feels like. So I have a wildly fun and popular idea for you today. Let's do what Paul says and make our lives, our bodies, a living... Isn't that fun? Aren't you excited? If I had told you we were going to talk about sacrifice when you just got here earlier? I've told you guys, I'd much rather that the Bible said, go find everything that's fun and do that until you find something else fun to do. And that's what the Christian life is all about. That's what it means to follow Jesus. But if you think about that for a minute, if you pull back and you say, why should I sacrifice? What does it mean, Mark? What does it mean to sacrifice? I would say, hold on, let me ask you first, what do you believe about God? Because if you believe that God is, maybe you go, hey, I think there probably is a being other than us. Okay, I'm okay with that. I probably think that that being is really strong and can do way more than I can do. Okay, I'm okay with that. God's strong as well. But when I ask you about God's character, but what's he like? You don't describe each other like, well, he's muscular. Well, you might. That's weird if you do. But when you talk about each other, you want to know what character's like, right? You want to know, what are they like? Are they kind? What is God like? No, I really mean it. I mean, in your mind, or even better, the way you're living out your life or your actions, who is God? Is God somebody that's a concept you learned as a young child that substituted for just replaced all the things that you wanted to do but couldn't do? Essentially, God is simply a hand slapper. God, the only reason there are even fun, interesting, maybe even sinful things in the world is because those are all the things God knows you'd enjoy doing, but enjoys keeping you from doing them. Is that ultimately what your concept of God is? Because if so, then sacrifice sounds like simply another thing that God has called you to do that you'll never like doing. You'll never possibly learn anything from it. You'll just be miserable, but in church we smile, so you'll keep showing up and smiling. I hope that's not true. I only bring it up because if it's true, dump it. It's a terribly misguided view of God. And when the Apostle Paul calls you and me to sacrifice, he's doing it because he knows that our greatest need, our single greatest need, is to know the living God and be in a relationship with him that saves us from our body of sin. This is hard. I'm a guy who likes to be liked. All right? I've told you that many times. I like to be liked. So to tell you that you need to think about the reality that you are not as great as you think you are, in fact, you are spiritually corrupted, doesn't make me happy or wildly popular. But the truth of who we are, and believe me, if you have any questions, go back earlier in Romans, you'll see it real, real clearly, that we are people that are spiritually hell-bent on eating nothing but spiritual sugar and playing spiritual video games. That's essentially the picture of who we are. We want what we want when we want it. And we've learned to dress it up a little different, but something has to step in and break that. And what begins to break that is as we sacrifice, we recognize the greatness of God and we begin to sacrifice what we are and who we are to his control. Now you say, okay, great, great concept. Love it, Mark. Great. I'll tuck that away. I'll hang on to it as long as I can. Great concept. No, let me give you a hook. This Tuesday is what? Thank you. Fat Tuesday. It took a while for the first service to get that. I don't know if the caffeine hadn't kicked in or what. Fat Tuesday, there's another word we use. Mardi Gras, right? That means Fat Tuesday. You think that's not a big deal? I won a free sub sandwich one time because of that. So it could be a big deal for you because you now know that. But for some of you, you grew up Roman Catholic. How many of you? How many of you grew up Roman Catholic? Yeah, it's a lot. And it was a lot in the first service too, which is really cool to me. For some of you, because I grew up in a neighborhood, I've told you, predominantly Roman Catholic. I was the kid that at 4:30, I was just starting to get fired up about our wiffle ball game, and everybody left. And I was like, where are you guys going? They said, we got to go to Mass. I'm like, church? Church happens on Sunday, dudes. That was the neighborhood I grew up in. So I learned a lot by just hanging around people who grew up Roman Catholic. And I remember them saying, we got to give up stuff for Lent. We got to. You know, I'm like, why? They go, I don't know. Because we like it, I guess. And that's the mindset we're talking about, is to say, here we come into a season of the year where perhaps, let's just consider for a minute, even though, I'll talk to you about theology, and that's a different deal. I'm not saying I'm in total alignment but with Roman Catholicism, but let me just take one thing and say, maybe there's a principle here that we've forgotten. Maybe there's an idea here that really can help us spiritually, and it's the idea of sacrificing something. It's the idea of taking something that is valuable, that's valuable to you, and going, Lord, I know this is valuable, but in an effort to understand your value, I'm going to put this over here. I'm going to put it on the altar. It's yours. It belongs to you. And I'm doing it because, not because I feel like Pastor Mark or any other person in my life guilted me into doing it, but Lord, I really want to do this because I want to live a life of sacrifice, and I want this to be a simple step and a simple act. And first service I talked about, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to apologize right now for how shallow I am. I know some of you have great hopes, but I'm giving up Coca-Cola. Yeah, I know. But Coca-Cola has become way too important to me. Now, it's ridiculous. It's so much more than a beverage. It has a beyond beverage experience. At one point, in an attempt to help me, my staff even labeled it on our little fountain. Yeah, we have it in a fountain drink here. And they labeled the fountain devil's urine. That's what they called it. All right? So, and that didn't help. I still drank it. But to me, it represents something that is a reminder of something I really do like. I really like it. But I want to be reminded for the days leading up to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. I want to be reminded that there's a God that loves me, that I love, that's so much more valuable to me than a carbonated beverage, for crying out loud. Now, I love too, Diane in the first hour reminded me, she said, remind him in the second hour. I think what she was saying was, your sermon was okay, but it could be better, and here's how it could be better. All right. I want to remind you, it might be an object like that. It might be money. Now again, I want to remind you, sacrifice. This is not something that is worth less, that you're going, God, I didn't really care about this anyway, and I'm going to give it to you. This is something that you value. Think of it this way, think of it in these terms. Many of you that are parents, when you became parents, you began to learn more about sacrifice than you ever expected. You like sleep, right? But you took sleep and you put it on the altar when you became parents. And you continue to do that because of your love for your children, because you recognize the amazing value, the gift, the blessing that is your children. There's an element for us that as we give to God, we recognize this is a valuable thing, but I'm going to give it. I want God to take this and for me to be reminded. Now, it could be time. Well, for some of you, time would be a bigger deal. Some of you hear the, oh, well, okay, maybe I'll give some money. Well, that's fine. Find a charity or something like that. Give some money to it if that's an act you want to do that's part of sacrifice, living a life of sacrifice. But for some of you, time is a much bigger deal. It's easier for you to write a couple $100 check and go, I really don't miss it. But to interrupt your life to do something that is making a spiritual impact, that's a bigger deal. So you may, but take this, consider using this time in the time leading up to the celebration of resurrection and use this time to figure out, Lord, how can I take a simple step of remembering that my life is a sacrifice to you? It is, and it's continuing to become, because I love being reminded of this by all of you, that the problem with living sacrifices is, as many say, what? They keep crawling off the altar, right? Because they're alive. That's us. That's the kicking and screaming. That's us, okay? So we must remind ourselves. And then Paul says, don't forget, be transformed. And he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What I love is I never paid attention to how these are linked together. And look what he says. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is. So let's hope this happens. Let's hope, if I kind of called you out and I said, if your mind, the center of your thinking, gets renewed this year, what might it look like, right? We talked last week, we said, kind of, what investment are you going to make for Mark 2019 or Dave 2019? That kind of thing. What are you going to, what investment? And if you said to me, oh, you know what? And I've heard you say this, I want to be, you know what I'd like? I'd love to be more patient. I have this idea of what Christ would be like if he was in my job, or what Christ would be like if he was in my marriage. And I think that Christ would be more kind. He would use more kind words. He would be more patient. Those are tremendous, by the way. And you've described some fruit of the Spirit of God, right? When the Spirit of God moves in you and me, it begins to, He begins to produce fruit. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Here's the problem with all of those. All of those. You know the only way we find out if it worked? You just wrote my sermon for me. It's testing. That's the only way we know if any of those worked. You know, everybody can be kind. Yeah, everybody can be patient when they're at a spa. That's not hard. You know? Yeah. I'm good. You do whatever you want. You know? No, you're saying, God, I want to be transformed in the area of patience, but you're probably like me, but I don't want to be tested. I don't want to go through anything difficult. Well, it's by testing. That's what his word says. It's testing helps to demonstrate what's done in us, and it helps to prove that it's the will of God. So if I understand that right, and I think I do, what that means is you're going to make a spiritual investment now, and when it's tested, you're going to understand that you did exactly what God wanted, what he desires for you. That's what that says. You'll know the will of God, which is perfect, pleasing, acceptable. It's all part of our worship to him. That's really cool stuff. But then it goes on, and it says this. Look at verse 3 through 4 here. And it says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment. This is, Paul just told us to renew our minds, right? And I love it. He doesn't leave us hanging out there. He says, you want to know how to begin to renew your mind? A, you think you're great. You're not that great. You're really not nearly as great as you think you are. Let's start there. Sober judgment of who you are. I told you last week, the CLC brothers that I have right now, one of the pieces of homework we did was we went through and we had to grade our lives in various areas. You talk about sober judgment right there. I can look a big game, but as soon as I start circling numbers and giving myself, that's sober judgment. I heard one of my brothers say, I think I could be excommunicated for sharing this, but I'm not really sure. He said he had been at a seminar with his wife, and they were doing a self-assessment, and she reached over and changed one of his numbers. Okay? That's sober judgment right there. You want to know who you are? If you're married, ask your spouse. But start with, seriously, I mean, these are practical steps to take to grow in Christ. You want to know what you're really like? Ask somebody who'll tell you the truth. Start with sober judgment about who you are. You'll never change if you don't understand, we talked about that last week, the reality of who you are. And then I love this. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Even with this theme, I hope you guys can relate to this. This is absolutely what it feels like inside my heart and mind. It's so easy for me to decide that I have this cool little thing going on with God, me and God, and this is ultimately what my life is about, is me and God. And so I'll work on the little things. I'll sacrifice Coke. I'll read the Bible more. I'll pray some more. And those are things God likes. So I grow in more and more favor with God because of those things. Absolutely not. First of all, an unbelievable reminder. The thing that God is transforming you and me for is for the glory of his church. And Paul says, this is a mystery, and it really is. Think about your body for a minute. If I took various pieces of your body and I laid them on a table and I said, which of these is your body? Well, first of all, you'd go, I can't say anything because there are pieces of me laying on a table. But you'd say, none of those are my body. And I'm saying, oh, so you're telling me there's a unity that's you, the being you. And all of these together make up you. That's awesome. That's a wonderful mystery. That's what we're told God does to and for us as members of the body. So that's an easy next step too. I want to look for ways to get you connected, get you into good, healthy relationships with other people of some sort. Ladies, you got it going on in Bible study. I know that. Some of you have it going on just because you go, Mark, I don't know, I don't even need to wait on you. I can do this on my own. And you go out and you grab some friends and you say, we're going to walk this journey together in Christ. I saw some amazing stuff in the short time I got to spend with Brian and Bev Wilson this week, who are just going through absolute heartbreak. And Brian says to me, Mark, I feel like I'm in a coma. And I said, I know it, man. You got to put one foot in front of the other. Keep walking forward. And I hugged him. And as soon as I walked away, somebody else from the church stepped up and hugged and said, you're not going through this alone. This is not how God designed us to just go have a better quiet time, Brian. It'll all go away. We're called into the unity of Jesus' church, and it's glorious. So find your place. I have a fear that some of you say, I'm part of the body. And I say, what part of the body are you? And you say, I'm the appendix. I'm in the body and I have no apparent function whatsoever. Do not be that. Somebody suggested we get buttons. I'm not the appendix. Okay? That's a great goal. Don't be an appendix. Break. All right. We're going to look to create all kinds of opportunities for you throughout this year. I promise that I'll keep you aware of them. But begin to look for ways, simple ways even. We have heroes who help in the children's ministry area. You don't believe me? Go over there. This hour of silence that you've enjoyed, this hour of focus, it's nothing like that over there. Okay? And those people love you so much, they are committed to allowing you to have this time. We can all do those things. There are guys who their greatest joy, and Tim, I'm looking at you, is standing out in 5-degree weather and directing you into the parking lot to have you ignore them and park wherever you want. Okay? They're there for you. It's that stuff. It's you going, I want to be functioning in the body. And right here, being in a small group, helping in a small group, helping in the kids' ministry, going out. We got some exciting local outreach stuff coming. It's going to be cool. But let's remember that, yes, God wants to transform us, but ultimately he wants to transform and glorify his body, the church, and it is wondrous. Father God, you are so much greater, so much holier, so much more pure than our minds can even fathom. But you've allowed us to know you, and you've demonstrated your love and your grace and your mercy to us because Jesus died and is risen. And he invites us to have his righteousness in exchange for our ugliness. Thank you for that truth. Thank you that that centers us and moves us out from here to be your church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.